You're right, everybody. I can't believe the amount of feedback in such a positive way I've been getting in a message for being able to speak up and share my pain to help try and stop or help make people think twice about what they're doing when it comes to living a criminal life or just creating havoc to gain notoriety amongst their street family. I really appreciate it because it is, and I can't express to you exactly how much it actually hurts to be able to speak out loud. I've had many conversations over and over in my head, and every outcome by the time I've finished talking to myself is completely different. Am I setting myself up to look weak? Am I setting myself up to just look a fool? And the one that I listen to the most is I don't care. I don't care if I look weak. I don't care if I look stupid. And I don't care. And the reason why I don't care is because if I look stupid, but I've managed to save one life, you should all look upon me as an example for standing up tall. Because changing one life is all each and every one of you need to do to stop this pain. So my last video would finished up at the morgue. The hospital morgue, and my mum asking me if he is okay. Now, from this point, it's a bit messy because I'm dealing with real negative thoughts, real harsh feelings towards the people that have took the lives of my brother and every member of my family. Although they're still here, apart from my brother, they murdered more than one person, a lot of people that day. And for that, revenge was on the cards. Now, after we left the hospital, that was the longest walk back to the car that you could ever possibly imagine. Because I don't know whether many of you have been to the morgue in the hospital, but it's halfway down between the maternity block and A&E in Ipswich. And it's one massive long corridor that leads onto another corridor for you to be able to get out. I got all my family in that lot to leave before because I had to sort some stuff out. They were walking up. I told them I'd catch them up. But the walk out of that room to sign papers to say that that is the person that they're saying it is was surreal. It was so strange because you're putting your autograph down for them to be able to hold someone you love so dear in a fridge. Now, I did end up catching my mum and them lot up as they were walking down the corridor, crying. But when you're walking down a public corridor, and that corridor is used for many reasons, for going to see loved ones, it's on the way to the restaurant, the hospital restaurant, maternity block, where life is being created. I see my mum crying all the way down the corridor. My sister's the same. My brother's son. and I'm still a little bit back, but I can hear them down the corridor. People walking past, they don't want to stare, but you can see that they want to. And as they walk past them, they have a little look back, and you're thinking to yourself, how can you be so inconsiderate? How are you staring at someone that's crying? Because you can tell whether someone's crying because they're sad or whether they're crying because they're happy. And I can assure you the noises that were coming from them was not happy joy. And you just want to... What the fuck are you looking at? You never seen someone cry before, but they don't know. They don't know that your firstborn son, your brother, your dad has just been murdered. And whilst them tears drop from your eyes, that he is being slid back into a freezer where you'll go home and supposed to live a normal, carry on day in, day out life. And it's impossible. It really is impossible. My memory is consumed with all of this, and there's nothing I can do about it. I've forgotten stuff I should remember. Whenever I switch off and try and think, that's all I think. That's all I see. That's all I hear. I wonder if they had a flash, or if someone done a video like this before, and these people who ruined a whole family, friends, communities, life, whether they would have committed the crime. And that's the whole point of my video. I don't want people to feel sorry for me. I want people to learn from me. I try and tell you and get across to you how we felt with playing it over in my mind. It's not easy. It's not easy to be able to replay them days and not sit here and cry and be able to speak to you so you understand what comes out of the small actions that you play on the road. We have a lifetime of this pain. I know I am in pain. I said goodbye to my family. And I said goodbye in a way where it wasn't... There was a high possibility that I wouldn't be coming back. Because I had a mission in my head of revenge. So every time I said goodbye to my family, I knew that there was a possibility that I weren't coming home. Because I wanted to kill these motherfuckers that took my brother's life. My big brother. I know my message now is put down a knife, save a life. But at that point in my life, I fought like I was part of the road. The old me. But 10 times worse, 10 times fierce. Nothing could stop what I was about to do. I don't really believe in heaven. I don't believe in hell. But I believe that my brother was over me at this point, making sure that I didn't align with these people, that I did not fall a victim, whether I was the aggressor or I was the one that was attacked. I believe that he guided me through somehow. I've done everything I could to find out information about what happened to my brother and why. And no one would speak. Nobody. I went to all of the crack houses. I bumped into people that was lower than low. And I bumped into people that was low, but they had a conscience. And I was hunting. I was hunting so bad. I turned up at one of the guy's house when I found out where he lived. I turned up at his house and I banged on his door. And I banged on his door with fierce venom. Because if he opened that door, he was dead. It wasn't till later on that I found out that when I'd gone up to the flat and I'd banged on the door to the, it was the right house. When I banged on the door, there was no one there. No one answered. Not a soul. And it weren't until later on that I found out, I realised that when I was standing outside his flat, there was a white van. And I was on the phone trying to find out where the other person lived. And I was on the phone. I said, tell me where they are. You know what I mean? I can't even remember what I said, but I just remember that I was venom. And he had only moved from the flat and down in the driveway of the flat, there was a white van. And he moved from the flat into the van. And he was in the van whilst I was standing right up against it. I think I even leant on the van. If I'd have got hold of him that day, I'd have executed him in ways that you only ever see in films. And it ain't me just trying to big myself up. I was on a mission, and the mission was to murder. Like I said a minute ago, there was things in play that stopped me from bumping into him. Every chance that I had was defaulted with small minor details. And I believe that it was my brother. My brother made that happen, made me miss them. And I know my message is, don't commit crimes, it causes loads of pain. But at that point, this is what I'm saying, at that point, like this is where my message is coming across and why I need to say it out, because at that point, I was thinking exactly like them. And those that know me, know. I missed every single one of them for a reason. I wasn't supposed to kill them. I wasn't supposed to ruin my life more than what it already was. Because I'm better than them. Because I ain't scum. I'm just in pain. I tried getting information, as much information as I could from the streets, and I was coming up empty every single time. I was coming up empty. I learned a lot through this process of grief. That good things will come back to you if you just sit back and wait. Now, we had a massive police force, huge police force, massive presence. They come down from Norwich, London. They come down from everywhere. There was a couple of good cops. But there was no way in this world that I was leaving it down to them. And they knew, the police knew it as well. Because every time they went to question somebody, every time they went to a house, to one of the homeless people, they all turned around. Every single one of them people turned around and said to the police, "You better catch these before Paul does. You better catch these." And they were all saying, "Why? Why?" But each and every one of them people knew. They knew why. Now, a lot of people loved my brother. And I don't think he realised. I don't think anyone realised just how much people care. But it's a shame that we have to wait. We have to wait till someone dies before we turn around and look at them and show them or tell them their true potential. I think the biggest problem that we have in this world is we're selfish with our time. And that's a shame. That's a real shame. Because if we just dedicate a little bit of time to the people that we love, then maybe I wouldn't feel so empty today. Life has a funny way of showing us lessons. But why do we have to wait for the lesson to be taught to us before we make a difference in our life? Something I can talk about because it's happened. The worst lesson. So I went back to my shop, my work. I own a tattoo studio called Lucky 13 Tattoo Studio in Ipswich. I thought I was at a loss. I couldn't find any information. I found odd bits. I went back to work day one of going back to work after losing my brother. Not day one, just the first day I've gone back to work since losing my brother. You walk into the shop. Everyone's still working as normal. No one knew I was coming to work. And as soon as I walk into my shop, people are just standing there. People, when I say people, just my staff. And you open the door to your own kingdom. And as you open the door and you step in, they're looking at you like they've just seen a ghost. They don't know what to say to you. I don't know what to say to them. What do you say? The first time you've come to your boss, they reached out, gave me a hug, no words, tears. "Are you sure you're all right to come back?" Are you fucking mad? Are you mad? Am I right to come back? What a stupid thing to say. In my head. Yeah. I need to come back. And what a day that was. Because as soon as I come back, for some reason, these fuckers, all these people that knew something about what happened to my brother, wandered into my shop. I had people coming in the shop saying, "Paul, please, I had nothing to do with it. I swear to you, I wasn't on road that day." Begging me, saying, "Please, I had nothing to do with it." So many people wanted to clear their name fast because they knew that I was on a hunt. But the ones that did come in, oh my God, give me information. Bang, as soon as I saw it walk through the door. Do you want me to tell you who it was? It was the person who killed my brother's sister that walked through the door. Now I heard the guy's name being mentioned and I knew that this was his sister. But do you want me to tell you the strangest thing is? I help a lot of homeless people. A lot of homeless people. 1st of November every single year. I put on a soup kitchen outside my shop. I get people to donate clothes, donate blankets, donate gloves, hats, socks, lady bits, all of it. And I've helped every single homeless person there was on the street. Every single one of them. And this was one of the people that I helped. And she'd come into my shop. And I recorded it on my phone. Of her trying to tell me that she thinks it was her brother. I wanted to strangle this girl. But I couldn't. I kept my cool. And that was so fucking hard. Can you imagine standing in front of somebody who knows whose brother killed my brother? Imagine that. Imagine that. But I needed the information. I needed the information to find out what happened on road that day. I recorded the whole conversation and she knew it. She said one thing, she said another, she said this, she said that. She was sure, she wasn't sure. Do you know what she said to me before she left? "Paul, I swear to you, I had nothing to do with this. I swear I loved your brother. Can I have a hug?" Now, I knew this girl. I knew this girl. I knew her boyfriend, her ex-boyfriend. I knew them all. I've known them for long. And I said to her, "If I hug you, don't let you be a part of this. Because if I find out it is..." She was like, "Nah, I swear to you." Then she hugged me. I didn't know what to do. So I started preaching to her. I started saying, "This isn't the life. You've got to stop this life. Why are you doing it? Like, why? Why do you want to carry on living your life this way? You need to get clean." I preached to her for about 10 minutes. I don't know what the hell. Like, I'm like, "You just told me it was your brother that killed my brother. And I'm preaching to you. Like, what's going on in my head?" She left anyway. Then another person come in, and another person come in, and another person come in, all with information. So I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, like, I'm laying down doors trying to get information to find out what happened to my brother. And all I had to do was go back to my shop and just wait for him to walk in. But do you know how hard that is? Do you know how hard that is to know that the people that kill your brother are out on the road and you're sitting in your shop listening? I'm sorry. Are you though? Are you sorry? I got to a point where I visualized these. I had an image of these people from what I didn't know. I've never met any of them before. But the information that I was being fed to, so if I was to walk past them and see who they were, man, I'll tell you what the sickest thing is. Do you want me to tell you what the sickest thing is? And I'll tell you what, it'll fucking blow your mind. The amount of people that owe money, they owed money for drugs. And because some of these people knew I was on a mission to get these people, they were telling me that the people that they owe the money to was the person that killed my brother. So I would go and I would take them out so they didn't have to pay the drug debt. Disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. So there was a part between the morgue and finding the people that killed my brother and burying my brother. And that was tough. It was tough because there's only one emotion when it comes to hunting killers, and that's aggression. And you can't think straight when you're thinking aggressively. It's hard to get this stuff out, the aggression side, because I'd blacked out for a lot of it. And it really is hard because there's a lot of stuff I can't remember, because I was in a frame of mind where I had to revenge my brother. Everything that I'm telling you now not to do, that was in my head. And I was bad. It consumed me. But all I had to do was sit back and wait for all these little dregs of the world to come in and tell me what they didn't tell the police. And all the little fleas that were fucking trying to get me to take out their drug dealers and people that they owe money to so they didn't have to pay them, you fucking dirty scumbags. Dirty scumbags that just drain this world of everything that they possibly could. Why there is a brother, a dad, a granddad, a son, lays cold on a bed, just a metal bed. It's not even a bed. A bed's got a mattress. This is just the cold slab that you end up on. when you've stepped on someone's toes for no reason. Living it back, trying to come to terms now, because this has been, it's done, but yet I'm reliving it now in my head, and it consumes you. It consumes you. And I don't want to feel like this no more. I don't want to feel this way. It's my brother's memory. But those four guys that took his life have done this to me. I'm not balanced right. I'm never going to feel at one with myself ever again. Hold close, everybody hold close. The people you dear the most. Because when the opportunity's there for you not to be able to tell them you love them, give them a dead arm, flick a bogey at them, whatever, man. Just whatever it is that you do that make you smile. Do it. Do it today. Do it right now. Because I promise you, once it's gone, you ain't getting that back. To all you people out there that are acting bad, carrying your knives, trying to make yourself the biggest and the baddest out there, the respect that you have, it's not real. You're respected through fear, and that ain't respect. Respect is earned, not taken. And every time you're going out and causing this grief to families, and you're carrying a weapon, you're taking your respect. Because once you're dead, you ain't being loved. And you will be forgotten. Put down a knife. Before you fuck everything up, put down a knife. Because it's hard to control the emotions afterwards.